This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you, thank you, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." This is Sherry, America's missionary messenger of truth. So America, men, women, boys, and girls, gather around. Please open your King James Bibles to the great book of Zechariah, chapter 2, verse 1, where we left off last time. Zechariah, minor prophet, chapter 2, verse 1. Now, Zechariah, like Revelation, which I just finished teaching, and like Joel, which I just finished teaching, is a prophecy of these very end times. It tells us exactly what's going on right now at this particular moment. Zechariah in the Hebrew means remembered of Yahweh. In the Hebrew, that's YHVH. That is correct spelling and correct pronunciation of the name of the Lord. It's not Jehovah. It's not Yahweh. You don't go to hell for saying that, but this is your beloved, so let's get his name right. This is good news to you, Christian, because this means he remembers you. It was written, dictated by the Holy Spirit through Zedekiah, over a period of about 7 years, and has quite a bit of visions which are happening right now. Some have already happened for us at the end time. And it was written just as the house of Judah came out of 70 years captivity in Babylon. But you see, we are now in the fifth trump, a time of learning. Soon and very soon, the sixth trump shall sound. The Antichrist shall come. He is the instead of Christ, the dragon pretending to be the lamb. And then the seventh trump will sound, and the real Jesus will come, and we will be delivered from Babylon, which means confusion. Understand? So, now let me give you a little recap. There's a lot of symbology in Zechariah, just like in Revelation. So we learned last week that God sent angels from the spiritual realm in chariots of fire, horses, horsepower, chariots of fire, angels, to give a message to God's children, symbolized by the myrtle trees. The myrtle trees are those trees we call the trees of righteousness in the middle of the house of God, that God's children. But they were scouts, and those men there on those horses, they were scouts. Here's what they're doing. Now, they are right here, right now. If you could see in the spirit, you would see, there it is, a chariot of fire going right by here, and they're checking out God's elect. And they're checking out everything that's written in God's word about these end times to see if everybody's in your place. So see, elect, I keep saying, everybody take your place, elect, connect. And so they're called scouts. Now, they're delivering this message, and that was the first vision. And the second vision, he showed Zedekiah four horns and four carpenters. The four is not the number four. It means four corners of the earth. In other words, all over the earth. Now, the horns are under the auspices of Satan, and they are outside enemy agents. So they would be the devil's children who've taken over America, the Kenites. They would be the fallen angels coming soon. They would be demons that are walking around loose right now, emptied from the river Euphrates in Revelation. So they are outside enemy agents, and they are the four hidden dynasties by Satan's children that have destroyed America, political, education, economic, and religion. But in that same vision, he showed us four carpenters. It means on planet Earth, the four corners of the earth. A carpenter is to hammer the word of God and nail it in. But he gives us a deeper meaning of the carpenter. He says the carpenter is so skillful at his work. He's like an ironsmith. He can actually mold iron. And the carpenters are tough, divine agents. Elect. The very elect right here at the end. Why does he call you a tough elect? because you've already been through the fire. You've already slain so many demons. You've overcome, and you have power. Now, this is the beautiful part. It's going to come in next week's lesson. We won't have time to get it today. The elect, the carpenters, are a sign to be wondered at. A sign to be wondered at. Okay, just remember that. We'll get into that later. And so the carpenters, who are the very elect at the end time, can actually break the iron structure where the four horns have destroyed. In America, we do that on Wednesday night, in people's lives, in the church, and in cities, you understand? And we have power over them. And God, see, God always gives us power. Jesus says in Luke 10:19, I give you power over all the power of the enemy, over serpents and scorpions, Greek devils and demons, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Amen. So see, while Satan sent his finest, God's finest are right here. So we are being watched now, not to judge us, but everybody's got a place. Amen. With that in mind, now we'll go to chapter 2. I mean, this will be entitled Measuring of the End. So see, those scouts are measuring us. The scouts are measuring us, the carpenters, the elect, the ironsmiths, to see if we're all in our place, elect, connect. And some of you hearing my voice, you know to connect with me. Come on over.
Zechariah chapter 2, verse 1. I lifted up mine eyes again and looked, and behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand.
Now this would be a plumb bob, and this man is an angel. We learned last time that an angel in the Hebrew or the Greek is one sent from God to be dispatched as a deputy, as a messenger, as a pastor, as a priest, as a teacher. But these are from the spiritual realm, so they're not in their physical body. So this is an angel sent from God with a plumb bob to measure an area.
Verse 2, then said I, whither goest thou? And he said unto me, to measure Jerusalem, to see what is the breadth thereof, and what is the length thereof.
So, since it's the end, we know that at the seventh trump, Jesus comes, and Jesus is going to set up his kingdom in Jerusalem, and then reign for 1,000 years, and then at the end of the millennium, God the Father is going to bring the heavenly Jerusalem. Remember, Jesus says, I go to prepare you a place? He's building and measuring it to come down here on planet Earth. So that's what he's doing. He's measuring that area for the eternal Jerusalem, heaven on earth. Now, you noticed he only said the length and the breadth. Did you notice he did not say the height?
3, and behold, the angel that talked with me went forth, and another angel went out to meet him. 4, and said unto him, run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls.
Okay, he's run means stop. One angel said, okay, angel, hey angel, are you there? Stop, don't measure it yet. Now, why is that? When you put up walls, you can't put anybody else in. In other words, leave the walls down, because we've still got the carpenters hammering that word of truth out there in the flesh, us. We've still got the millennium when there's going to be disciplined teaching. And God says he's not willing that any should perish. Don't put the walls up there yet. Stop that. Just get the length. In other words, let it expand as much as it can. Whosoever will may come. He wants everybody to be saved. Now, here's a lesson for us. Let us not limit God. We say, Lord God, give me a dollar raise. How about God give you the whole company? We say, God heal my headache. How about God put a new body part on you? You understand what I'm saying? In other words, let's stop limiting God. I imagine it breaks God's heart. Boy, they just asked me to heal their headache or to give them just enough to buy some bread, and I've got all of this. I mean, I could give them money so they could get the word of God out all of the earth, and I'm believing for that. And so, see, you can do, we just do not, are not supposed to limit God. I don't think we've ever even understood how great he is. Amen. So, no walls.
for the multitudes of men and cattle therein.
In other words, Revelation says eventually after the millennium teaching, they're going to be just so many you cannot count them. Did you notice that he said that cattle are going to be in this heavenly Jerusalem? Remember, this is going to be on earth. God will rejuvenate the earth at the end of the millennium and bring the heavenly Jerusalem down here. That's documented in Revelation 21. Did you notice he said animals? For all of you animal lovers, Isaiah chapter 11, talking about the heaven on earth when we're in our spiritual bodies. The wolf shall lie down with the lamb. If that happened in the natural, that lamb would be lamb chops. And so, of course, did you think God was going to, he loves his animals. You think he's going to destroy them? It'll hurt him to destroy Lucifer. He loved him so much, but he's going to have to do that for God to be fair. But he loves those animals. Of course they're going to be with us in a spiritual body.
For I, saith the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire round about.
Now we know in Ezekiel, God says that I am your wall of fire about you. Hebrews 12:29, God is consuming fire. Now you know, we learned in Psalm 6, we've been studying the Psalms line by line on Wednesday night. And we learned that David, in real trouble with everything coming against him, he said, the Lord encompasseth me about as with a shield. And we learned that that shield in the Hebrew is not like a handheld shield. It's like a cylinder that just drops down on you and covers your own side like a wall of fire. Since our daddy is the big fire, that protects you from all the little sparklers, the fiery darts of the enemy. They're like little sparklers on the 4th of July. Zap, 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 go back. So we have that shield. So the next time that things get too rough, he encompasseth me about as with a shield. Ooh, I feel him right now. He's encompassing me about. Hallelujah, the wall of fire. Nothing can penetrate. In other words, there's not going to be any one evil in the eternity. All evil will be done away with, so we really won't need the walls anymore. You won't have to lock your doors and your allotment in the eternal heaven on earth.
And will be the glory in the midst of her.
Glory comes from a Hebrew word, as I told you last week, Shekinah, Shekinah glory. That means the Lord is with us. He married Jerusalem in Ezekiel 16 spiritually and said, I will dwell here forever. And he's going to come back and rejuvenate the earth, paradise restored. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit will dwell with us. Those of us who are saved will all have our portions and our allotments. And we will dwell with him on earth, heaven restored. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Forevermore.
Six. Behold, come forth and flee from the land of the north.
This is so great. Now, because it's in English, ho-ho, I had to say ho-ho for you, okay? That's not Santa Claus. Here's what it says in the Hebrew, oi, oi. Now, when I was a little girl, if my mother slammed her finger, she was always fixing things, she would say, oi. So as a little girl, when I hurt myself, I'd say, oi. And Daddy would say, oi. And my sister would say, oi. So every time something came that we had as, whoa, oi. So this means alert, escape, oi, oi, look out. You notice he said north? So he says, wait a minute. Before I come and inhabit Jerusalem, there is a fake one coming, standing where he ought not, calling himself God, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The Antichrist, the dragon, pretending to be the lamb, the devil with his Amen. Jesus costume. Alert, alert. Amen. And in the first earth age, the world that then was, 2 Peter 3:6, Isaiah 14, Lucifer, that old dragon, that old serpent, the Antichrist, the devil, he said, I will exalt my throne on the sides of the north. God's throne is in the north. So he says to us, oi, oi, look out, look out, be alert. There's a fake one coming, Revelation 12, with his fallen angels pretending to be Christ, Antichrist, instead of Christ. So run, escape. It means, oi, oi, escape. Don't go there, don't go there. Everybody got it?
Amen.
Six
Amen.
Comes before seven. Antichrist comes before Jesus. But he's going to look like him, act like him, talk like him, peace and safety. Come in the sky with the fallen angels.
Thank the Lord. For I have spread you abroad as the four winds of heaven, saith the Lord.
four winds of heaven all over the earth. We know there were 12 tribes and they were scattered. Two of those tribes, the house of Judah, Benjamin and Judah, have returned back to the land of Israel. The other 10 tribes have never returned. Captured by Sennacherib the Assyrian, we migrated over the Caucasus Mountains, settled Europe, and came into the United States of America, and we are still here. So he's saying, you there that are scattered, you my carpenters, because most of the very elect are in America. They are other places, but most are in America. The very elect, the actual biological seed, but you don't know who you are. You haven't been taught, but the Bible's telling us now. He says, you know better, so don't you even go there. When everybody else is going, the elect, 10,000 elect, Romans 11, will not bow the knee. So carpenters, you just stay put.
Seven, deliver thyself, O Zion, that dwellest with the daughter of Babylon.
Babylon meaning confusion. Now, certainly, the elect right here in America, we dwell with a daughter of Babylon. We dwell with confusion. Remember, half the church is going to be deceived. Five are wise and five are foolish. Five have no oil, no truth, some do. And so we dwell with them, but it says don't go with them. And Jesus says just don't go there. So deliver ourselves from that lie. In other words, wait for the seventh trump. Here's a little test. If you can pinch yourself or if you cut yourself and it doesn't bleed, that's not Jesus, because when the real Jesus comes, we're going to change in a moment, the twinkling of an eye, the last trump, into our spiritual bodies. And that there's no oi, oi there.
Eight, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath he set me to the nations that have spoiled you. For he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye.
Hallelujah. Apple in the Hebrew means the pupil. In other words, God says, touch not mine anointed, do my prophets no harm. Jesus says it were better for you that a millstone were hung about your neck and drowned in the depths of the sea to hurt one of my little ones, one of my little carpenters, one of my little elects, tough divine agents. And so what he's saying is, I am going to just give my children, my carpenters, the victory. See, we're going to have a victory yet in America one more time. We're going to turn back to Jesus. And us carpenters are already hammering away and doing this, because we are pulling up the iron bars that those four horns have built into the structure of our country and our church, and we're pulling it down. Mm-hmm. And so God says, I'm going to take vengeance on those. Anybody that hurts mine elect sticks your finger in God's pupil. Watch what happens.
Nine, for behold, I will shake mine hand upon them.
In other words, slap, slap.
And they shall be a spoil to their servants. And ye shall know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me.
See, right now, the four horns, the political horns especially, have made us American citizens, us the elect, the park carpenters, have made us servants. With high regulations, you can hardly have a business. There's so much paperwork and just everything they can, and taxes, destroying the middle class, taking you from your good jobs, decent jobs, and giving you less pay, and just refusing to let us say Jesus or the Bible, and breaking our constitution. So right now we're their servants, but they are going to serve us. And this will be yet right in the flesh. We're going to see this day. We are going to have this victory one more time. I speak it out in Amen. Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, this same book of Zechariah says that these Kenites, these enemy agents, these people, when Jesus comes and see that the carpenters, the very elect, are the only ones that go around Jesus, that they're going to come and grab us, and they're going to fall down and worship the Lord at our feet, and they will know that God loves us. Hallelujah. It doesn't mean they worship us, but they're going to worship him at our feet, because they love a winner. They say, uh-oh, there's a winner. Winner, winning, 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 as Donald Trump says.
Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee,
Well, why will we rejoice? Because the Bible says in his presence is fullness of joy. So when Jesus comes at the seventh trump, the carpenters, God's very elect, we've been building the church, and we will gather around him, and his presence is fullness of joy. Those of you out in airspace, I just wish every one of you could have at least this experience one time to come to my place. People could come in here dragging. We've been beating devils. We've been just absolutely tattooed and bruised and all through the week. And we come, we always leave out with joy because of his presence. He just washes away and lifts that heaviness. And we're just singing like children. Hallelujah.
Saith the Lord.
Saith the Lord.
11, and many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day.
Nations means the ethnic races. In Genesis 1, around verse 26, when God created the six-day creation, that word in the Hebrew, Adam, means mankind in general, red, yellow, brown, black, and white. And the last verse of Genesis 1 says it's very good. God is an artist. I'm an artist. I don't wear the same color every time, and you don't paint things the same color. And in the millennium, you can read this in Ezekiel 40 on to the end of Ezekiel, you'll see that all of God's saved children are going to have an allotment. And for the kings and queens of the ethnos, you're going to be able, like a king and a queen, have your allotment. And that's the different races. God loves them all. And you will be able to bring your people up to Jerusalem to worship the Lord. Hallelujah.
And will be my people, and I will dwell in the midst of thee.
My people in the Hebrew is so beautiful. Ami. That's where we get our word, Amy. The book of Hosea says people who are not God's people, that would be those four horns, they are called Lo-Ami. Lo is not a good word. Lo is negative. You don't want to be Lo-Ami. You want to be Ami. And once again, we're going to be God and his children, that united. We'll be as one.
And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto thee. 12, and the Lord shall inherit Judah, his portion in the Holy Land.
He's going to make his throne eternal resting place there in Jerusalem. You can read about that beautiful heaven in Jerusalem. See, when Jesus said, I go to prepare you a place, Jesus expressed himself as a carpenter, didn't he? They're building away, the building that there. But you know what he's really building? The many-membered body of Christ. He's building you.
Amen.
He's building us.
And shall choose Jerusalem again.
Again, because Satan will take it from him temporarily when Satan comes first pretending to be the Savior. Because in Ezekiel 16, remember, God chose that Jerusalem would be his eternal home forever and ever. He's going to come and live with us. Isn't that amazing? Of all the galaxies and stars and planets, he chose this earth, Jerusalem, to dwell with us. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
13. Be silent, O all flesh, before the Lord, for he is raised up out of his holy habitation.
All right. What this means is, now he's talking about Jesus coming. We bypass, we finished with the Antichrist, then Jesus comes. 1 Corinthians 15:52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, we shall all change. We will step out of our flesh suits. It's just your sweater. It's just your envelope. You don't need it anymore. Into our beautiful spiritual bodies. And that means saved and lost alike. Of course, the lost are not, you know, they're mortal. They're liable to die. But we're all going to be changed. So we don't need the flesh anymore. It's silent. It can no longer say, I'm hungry, I'm tired, I want to do this, I want to go there, I want to be that, feed me, love me, wash me. It can no longer say that. Hush, flesh. Hallelujah. Won't you be glad? We have to wash it. It's like a dog.
Amen.
We have to walk it and wash it and feed it. Oh, my goodness.
Amen.
Chapter 3, verse 1.
Now, this is God's plan and preparation for his building. But remember when Peter said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, and Jesus said, on this rock, meaning the statement that he had made, not Peter, but the rock, he said, I will build my church, and not the gates of hell shall prevail against it. I mean, that's where we are. And the church is the many-membered body of Christ. Christ. We're many members. So, see, you are the temple of the living God. And for every time that that word is hammered into you and it saturates in your spirit and you go out there and walk in it, then you are being built up a spiritual house made by God, not built by hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And he showed me Joshua, his high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord.
Now, Joshua in the Hebrew is Yeshua, which is how we say Jesus in the Greek there, and in the Hebrew, Jesus is Yeshua. By the way, there are three names in the Bible that if you don't take it from the original language, it would be Yeshua. That would be our Lord Jesus, Yeshua. The book of Hosea is Yeshua. And the book of Joshua himself, Caleb's friend there, Yeshua. So this is Jesus standing before the angel of the Lord. Who is the angel of the Lord? That is God the Father. See, God the Father is Yahweh, the Lord. Jesus is Yahweh's Savior. He is the Savior. And Jesus ever lives at the sits at the throne, the right hand of God, ever living to make intercession for us. So he's showing us that right now, there is God the Father, and there is God the Son there. Now, what's going to happen here? Now, remember, the Holy Spirit, the third person of God, is here in this room and is teaching us and guiding us.
And Satan standing at his right hand to resist him.
Now, Satan is called the accuser of the brethren. Now, while Satan is bodily restrained back of the throne by Michael, his evil spirit is here. See, he has an evil spirit, as you very well know, and his children and his demons and so forth. But remember in the book of Job, Jesus asked, the Lord asked Satan, where have you been? I have been to and fro walking on the face of the earth. And he was seeking, he goes about seeking whom he may devour. He's the accuser of the brethren. And he said, if you would let me get at Job, if you would let me hurt his body, take all his money, hurt his body, kill everybody, and then make him sick in his body, everybody's going to say, you sin, Job, that's why this is happening to you. And he'll betray you. Of course, we know Job did not. Right now, Satan can go up to Jesus and the Father and say, look what Sherry did not do. Look what Sherry did. See. And look what Susie did. And look what Tommy did. Look what they did not do. Okay, accuser.
2. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan.
Yes.
Even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee.
Now, this is what happens. He comes and accuses us, and then Jesus says, I, the Lord, rebuke you, Satan, because my daughter Sherry, her sins are all forgiven, and she is washed in the blood, and she's one of my carpenters, and I got the wall of fire about her. I got the same thing about Tommy, and I got the same thing about Susie. So I rebuke you. Get your hands off of her. Now, while us carpenters, the elect, while we have all the power, all the demons in the world cannot hurt us. God in one's a majority. But sometimes, don't just God get tired of fighting them? Okay, so when we get tired of fighting them ourselves, we can, if there's something in the Bible that we can do that will instantly cause God to rebuke the devourer, the devil. And it's found in Malachi chapter 3. It says, will a man rob God? You say, no! But you rob me in tithes and offerings. And he says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. Bring them where you get the meat of the word, not the milk. And God says, I will open the windows of heaven, an open heaven. I'll pour you out a blessing. You don't have room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. See, I mean, to me, right there, just to get the devil off my back. So the next time you're tired of fighting them yourself, hold up that scripture, Isaiah 43:26. God says, talk to me about it. Put me in remembrance of my word. And say, Father, look what you said. I tithe, I give my offerings, and I take it where there's meat. And so, Father, I want you to rebuke the devil for my sake. God is not a man that he shall lie. He does not alter the thing that goes out of his lips. His word is truth, and he'll rebuke him for you.
Amen.
You learn to work the word, people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Jesus rebukes him from
Hallelujah.
Us.
Not this a brand plucked out of the fire?
So Jesus brags on his carpenters, a brand plucked out of the fire. Amos talks about the firebrands. That would be the ministers of fire. That would be the anointed, tough, divine agents, the very elect men and women at this end time who are being scouted by these spiritual angelic beings to make sure we're all in our place for this end time victory battle. Now, I want to tell you something. Many of you have heard of Shepherd's Chapel, Pastor Arnold Murray, who moved to heaven in 2014. But I heard him say that he had the privilege of discovering a grave of 9 priests in Back Creek, Tennessee, and it had a headstone on it in ancient Hebrew. And Pastor Murray was able to translate it from ancient Hebrew into English, and it said, "The lion of the tribe of Judah always faces right. The lion of the tribe of Judah always faces right. May the voice of God be the poker that draws these firebrands back to God." The voice of God is the word of God flying through the air. There's the scroll, it's rolled up and it unveils, and over the air, these end times, the word shall cover the earth as the waters that covers the sea. If it covers us in the air, the scroll flies and it gets the word there and it gets the word there by the carpenters, by the very elect. And that connects with these firebrands, these ministers of fire. Some of you are hearing me. Elect, connect. Everybody, take your place.
Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Let's give God a hand clap.
Hallelujah.
Okay, I hate to be a cliffhanger there, but we're going to stop right there because right now it's time for a mystery moment. Did you enjoy that?
Yes.
Were you blessed?
Yes.
Carpenters. Now, guys, you can call your wives a carpenter. Girls, you can call your boyfriend carpenters and you'll be having a compliment. It's mystery moment. Time to answer questions for you to help you understand God's word. We just finished Joel. Joel chapter 2 says, "Blow the trumpet in Zion." Well, we are Zion, so we always obey the word. If you notice me, when we get to the word, whatever it says, we stop and do it. So let's do that. That's my trumpet. Questions and answers. Dear Sherry Trumpet, what in the world is a demon slayer? A demon slayer is a Christian who obeys Jesus' command, not a suggestion, a command to heal the sick, raise the dead, and cast out demons or devils. They can be demons who do not inhabit a body, and we're aware of them. I have seen them when I was terrorized by a drug gang trying to sneak into my holy place, peeping in the window. Scott, you've seen them. They can inhabit people, Christians even. They can inhabit a city. They have inhabited America. We're breaking that down on Wednesday night, but I literally used to see a screen up there like steel over America. And so we call them slayers. We cast them out because when you send a demon back to the abyss, that's a death sentence for them. So that's what a demon slayer is. I pray you be one. So the follow-up question is, well then, can I, by using the name of Jesus and quoting the scripture, cast out demons? Not necessarily. That's a part of it. Isaiah says the anointing destroys the yoke. See, the anointing is Jesus. He paints himself on you. It's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has dunamis power, dynamite power. So when the Holy Spirit takes over the voice and the presence of a carpenter, God's elect, and then we use the name of Jesus and the word of God, that dynamite power blows up and breaks that hole, that stronghold, and it just ejects that demon out of that place or out of that person. So you would have to have the anointing. Isaiah, the anointing destroys the yoke. And so say then, it's not by might, not by power, but by thy spirit, saith the Lord. We must have the electricity turned on or we have no power.
Amen.
Understand?
Amen.
Okay. How can I know, Sherry, how can I know if there is a demon? To put it simply, you would feel it. don't be afraid of feeling. If you read this Bible, God is a feeling God. He didn't, God so loved the world. God so loved the world. He feels. And if you are at all awake and alert, you would just know it. Haven't you ever been in a room, and maybe all of you were very congenial, and somebody walked in who had a bad spirit, and maybe not a demon, but just they were mean, and you could feel them coming in? But that's not necessarily a demon. The Holy Spirit will alert you. The Holy Spirit will say, oi, oi. Not really, but he would tell you, he would let you know that one is there. You will feel it. The Holy Spirit is warm. And it feels so good. That fire doesn't burn us, it comforts us. But when they come in, I always feel a cold chill. I feel something bad. And so you'll learn to recognize it. So see, when they tell you not to be a feeling person, then you've been missing out. You need to feel. God is a great person of emotion. So you would feel it, you would know it. I have time for one more question here. Dear Sherry Trumpet, what do you think of Donald Trump? I think that God answered a prayer I've been praying every day and every Wednesday night leading Groups for America for the past 7 years. Since our country, where the 10 tribes, the larger bulk, are the seed of Abraham, has been captured by the seed of Satan, the Kenites, I thought that it would be really fitting if a true seed of Abraham for this last little yard of time we have in the flesh would be the President of the United States. So I've been praying for that. I didn't say someone says I'm saved and grafted in. I meant the biological seed of Abraham. And remember, the tribes have been scattered. 10 of them are here. And so, let me explain why Donald Trump is one. Donald Trump is Scottish. His mother is from Scotland. Now, when the 10 tribes were captured, when they migrated into what we now call Great Britain, Scotland, Ireland, England. But it wasn't called that then. Now, in Ezekiel, Jeremiah the prophet wanted to prolong the royal seed, so they wouldn't die out because all of the sons had been killed of the last king of Judah, Zedekiah. So Zedekiah had 3 daughters with a royal seed in them, and Ezekiel calls them allegorically the 3 tender twigs. And one of those girls' name was Scota. Jeremiah took them and caught them up with the 10 tribes who had migrated into that area of England. And that is the daughter Scota, Scotland was named after her. Donald Trump's mother is Scotland, and he is Scottish. He is the biological seed of Abraham. And yes, Mr. Pope, he is a Christian. He is a Christian. He is a Christian. And don't forget, Scott reminded me, John Knox of Scotland preached there. I mean, and he went in there as a wrecking ball and turned the whole country, back, whole Scotland, back to Jesus. Donald Trump has been lifted up and answered my prayer, and then I've been leading groups every Wednesday night, every Wednesday night, every Wednesday night for over 7 years to be a wrecking ball and wreck the corrupt horn, that political horn that has taken over our country and corrupt. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Long live the king. Long live President Donald Trump. Okay, well, with that in mind, anybody still there out there? Now, don't forget, we're going to have a day of repentance. We're going to get this country back to Jesus and the Bible. We're going to be teaching God's word. We're going to be casting out devils. And we're going to be a holy land one more time before
Hallelujah.
Jesus comes. God bless America.
Hallelujah.
Now, you want to make sure that you're saved. If you're not saved, I want to invite you to pray this prayer with me. Come to Jesus. Come to the truth. Come and see the glory of God. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Lead me by your Holy Spirit.
Lead me by your Holy Spirit.
Use me.
Use me.
To enlarge your territory.
To enlarge your territory.
Here am I.
Here am I.
Send me.
Send me.
I love you.
I love you.
I belong to Jesus.
I belong to Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, in a moment, my announcer is going to give you my number. You might like to call and leave a message and tell me you were saved. Now, I'm going to pray for those of you who are sick. Remember our lesson today. He said, don't limit God. Let's not limit. He can not only heal your toe ache, he can heal. This speaker, cancer twice, couldn't walk, got up and walked, and many other things. I mean, listen, he is alive and he's still a healer.
Hallelujah.
And we stood over a man dead in his bed and spoke over him, and the Lord raised him up from the dead.
Hallelujah.
And so, yes, of course, Jesus is alive.
Hallelujah.
We have so limited his power. So in the mighty name and the power of Jesus, to the north, the south, and the east, and west, four corners of the earth, in the name of Jesus, I speak to every demonic force that is binding people with sickness, and I say, loose them and go to the abyss in the name of Jesus. Spirit of blindness, loose and be gone. Spirit of deafness, loose and be gone. Spirit of crippleness, be loose and be gone. You cancer, you foul thing, be gone. Diabetes, be gone in Jesus' name. Fibromyalgia, pain, stop. Jesus bore your pains. Muscles and their blood pressure be normal again, at ease, that his hearts beat, lungs breathe, vocal cords, throats, breasts, skin, feet, toes, blood clots be gone in Jesus' name. Tumors move in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Brains come back in Jesus' mighty name. He sent his word and healed you. With Jesus' stripes you were healed. Hallelujah. Bless your heart. You just receive it and you claim it. And remember, don't speak the death out of your mouth. Speak life. With Jesus' stripes you are healed. Now, you might like to call and tell me that too. I want to invite all of you to come over every Sunday, 5 p.m., and every Wednesday, 6:30 p.m., and we teach God's Word. And Wednesday, we are warrior workers. We are bringing down strongholds. We are building God's house. We are the carpenters. And we're going to have a day of repentance, I want all of you to call me media. I need media help to connect me with this entire nation so we can have a whole day to repent. Like Jonah preached to Nineveh, and they repented, and the whole nation was saved. Like John Knox preached to Scotland, and Scotland was saved. And so why not America? So a day of repentance. Call me and help me, and media, help me to get connected, elect, connect. You know who you are, prayer warriors. I love all of you. God bless you. Now remember, what you learned is not yours to keep. Everything you get is yours to give away, and then God will give you more. Now, remember this about Yeshua Jesus. His name is called the Word of God. And Jesus said in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." God bless each one of you and keep you. And I love you. And if God is willing, I will see you next time.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
What am I gonna be when I grow up? And how am I gonna make my mark in history? And what are they gonna write about me when I'm gone? These are the questions that shape the way I think about what matters. But I have no guarantee of my next heartbeat. And my world's too big to make a name. And what if no one wants to read about me when I'm gone? It seems to me that right now is the only moment.
For who you are. This is not my home.
This is not my space.
Simply not my style.
This is not my place.
Can't get comfortable.
Can't get settled in.
I simply don't belong.
Can't get used to this.
But I'm here right now.
I can hear you say,
make the most of me.
This won't go to waste.
If I'm out of my mind,
yeah, it's all for Christ.
If I'm making sense,
then get in line.
Every moment is a chance to let your light break.
You're listening to WMIE, today's Modern Worship, 91.5 FM.
Thank you. she set a table away, staring into space in her own little world. And I saw a tear in her eye, like a window to the mind of a frightened little girl. She never said a word, but I know are good. If I am misunderstood, the price could be high. I can't fix whatever's wrong, but if I fail to pass along, so